Welcome, you wonderful listeners. It's a Tuesday, and today you are in for a treat. A Swedish horror story that goes by the name Trollkvinnan. Your no sleep author of today's story is Taxi on Mars. Great name. Let's just say, the Trollkvinnan is a creature you want to stay away from, and sometimes you can't. I won't spoil the story, so you'll just have to find out. But before we dive head first into this one, if you do get a chance to share this story around, I'd be ever grateful. It's people like you, and listeners like you, that keep this channel growing. And to my Swedish listeners, I apologize in advance for my pronunciation of your beautiful language. But I will do my best. So prepare for a story that is all things creepy, magic, and monster. Turn those lights off and get ready for something creepy. 3 days ago, my grandma Hilma told me it couldn't harm me if she was still living, and it couldn't harm me if I had the ring. Grandma Hilma died 3 nights ago in her sleep, and I don't have the ring anymore. I should probably preface this by telling you about my grandma Hilma. Every Thursday, I would visit her in the old folks' home, or shitty Platts, as she called it. She was a little odd sometimes, but her quirks were something I loved about her. We'd always been close, and I was just about the only person to visit her anymore. My grandmother's sweet and humorous demeanor was coupled with the sharp wit and the occasional angry look that could send shivers down a Viking's spine. It was the same look she gave the receptionist when she jokingly asked if my grandmother was sure she and I were blood relatives. She's my maternal grandmother, and very stereotypically, Swedish looking. But I, on the other hand, have a head full of dark brown curls and dark brown eyes courtesy of my African-American father. I held in a laugh as the receptionist sank into her skin while my grandmother stared her down. "Come, Ingrid," she said as she motioned me towards the hallway, still glaring at the receptionist. She wasn't the kind of woman you wanted to upset, which only made me admire her more. She was capable of anything, moving all the way from Sweden to the United States with her 3 kids after her husband died in 1953. Coming from a long line of craftsmen, she even managed to make a large sum of money selling jewelry. This wasn't at all hard to believe, because her jewelry was incredible. She had impeccable taste, working mainly with turquoise and a myriad of other gemstones. In addition to that, her metalwork was flawless. However, she was very secretive about her trade and often became upset if asked to share her secrets. No one was allowed in her basement where her workshop was, and I'd only ever seen her go down there once while other people were in the house. I was 6. The whole family was over at her house for her birthday. We were sitting in her living room where I was playing with some of my cousins. My favorite cousin, Ben, and I were making toy weapons out of Legos, pretending to prepare for a great battle. I'd gotten bored and approached Grandma, who was smiling and watching us play from her old chair. That's when I asked her about Trollkvinnan. I'd had an odd nightmare the night before, about a shadow by the same name chasing me through a forest. 6-year-old me figured that if anyone knew about the monsters in my nightmares, it was Grandma Hilma. To a terrifying extent, 6-year-old me was right. I remember her cheeks going red with blood as her warm smile slowly faded into a serious expression I'd never seen her make before. She put down her tea and sat quietly for what seemed like hours. Eventually, I decided to go back to playing with Ben. A few minutes later, the house went silent. The adults chattering in the kitchen stopped mid-sentence as they saw Grandma Hilma began to fiddle with the various locks on the basement door before opening it and slamming it shut behind her. I saw my dad, puzzled, turn to my awestruck mother and asked what was going on.
"Mama never goes to the basement when there are other people around. That's just how it's been since I was a child," Mum whispered, still staring at the door. She took a sip of wine.
A few tension-filled minutes later, Grandma Hilma came back, quickly opening and closing the basement door behind her. I remembered that she rushed to lock it. Now pale-faced, she took my hand and began to guide me upstairs.
"I have something to tell Ingrid,"
she exclaimed happily to her still confused family members, her accent thicker than usual. The chatter in the kitchen began to start up again, but her eccentric, happy facade faded the moment she turned to continue up the stairs. The truth was that she didn't really have something to tell me, rather, something to give. Grandma Hilma knelt to my level, took my left hand, and slipped a small silver band around my index finger. She closed my fist and held it tight in her warm hands.
"It's you, Ingrid. Do not lose this ring. Do not leave it off. Not for any reason. Do you understand?"
I stood confused as she stared into my eyes, pleading.
"Alskling," her tone became more urgent as her hands tightened around my fist. "Do you understand?"
"I understand, Grandma," I said, nodding quickly. It would be a lie to say that she hadn't scared me.
"Good. I love you, child. You're my favorite."
She pulled me in and hugged me. Her demeanor changed drastically as she joked,
"Just don't tell Ben."
I'm assuming all my family members wrote the whole thing off. No one except my parents asked about my new ring, or what Grandma Hilma had to tell me. They didn't make a big deal out of what happened, as odd as it was.
"Just Hilma being Hilma," they said.
I only ever removed the ring to place it on my pinky finger as I got older. I've always been a sucker for sentimental things, so I kept the ring on more out of desire to wear it than out of fear for what would happen if I took it off. Every time I'd visit her, I'd notice that she'd glance at my left hand, relieved to see that I hadn't stopped wearing it. During my final visit with Grandma Hilma, she finally told me why she gave me the ring.
"Something has been after you since the day you were born," she said calmly. I sat there like an idiot, eyes wide, not sure how to respond. "The ring, it protects you from it, from Trollkvinnan."
She pointed to my left hand. Although I hadn't even thought about the name since I was 6, it sent a shiver down my spine. I could feel the blood draining from my cheeks. I wasn't even trying to decide if she was joking with me or not. I knew her well enough to know she meant every word she was saying. There were so many questions I wanted to ask, but had no idea how to form them, or even speak. Grandma Hilma went on.
"I'm leaving soon, child."
"Grandma, don't say that."
"Nedge!"
she practically yelled, scaring me into silence.
"You must keep your wits about you. Do not lose your ring. When I'm gone, it's going to try to take it from you. You will die if it's lost for more than 3 days.
At this point, tears began to fill her eyes, breaking her calm facade. I was in complete shock as she stood me up and pushed me towards the door. Before she opened it, she pulled me into a hug and whispered,
"Forgive me, Alskling. It's you, Jug Alskla, Dick."
Before I could say anything, she had pushed me out of her room and closed the door. I heard the lock click. That was the last I'd heard from my grandma before I got the call from the nursing home 2 mornings ago. They said she died peacefully in her sleep. Grief-stricken, I didn't stop to think about the ring until later. I glanced down at my left hand. The ring was gone. I thought it was weird, sure, but my grandma was known to say odd things. At the time, I wrote it off and planned to look for the ring later. I thought it had probably just fallen off. It was the last of my worries. I had family members to notify and funeral arrangements to make. It happened around 9 p.m. that night. My wife had been acting strange ever since that morning. I'd written it off as her not quite knowing how to help me deal with the grief. I've never been more wrong. "Hey, Alex, have you seen the ring that my grandma gave?" I stopped mid-sentence as I walked into the kitchen. She was sitting cross-legged on the floor. That's it, just sitting. Not moving, not blinking. Just fucking sitting there. I laughed nervously as I approached her. "Babe, what are you..." I stopped when I noticed that her beautiful hazel eyes had gone completely black, whites and all. My stomach dropped. I rushed to her side. "Oh my God, Alex..." I trailed off, not knowing what to say. I put a shaking hand on her cheek. Suddenly, robotically, my wife turned her head towards me and opened her mouth. I could see my terrified reflection in the little silver band wrapped around the tip of her tongue. That's when it clicked. That's when it was real. My wife was no longer my wife. Grandma Hilma's warning shot into my mind.
When I am gone, it's going to try to take it from you.
My wife continued to open her mouth. I watched in terror as my wife's mouth continued to open, ripping the flesh off her cheeks until her jaw rested on her chest and the top of her head hung back. I screamed. A huge black mass began to come out of her throat, accompanied by guttural, low, indistinguishable noises. The mass dripped black liquid that burned the floor as it dripped from my wife's limp body. I don't remember exactly how I got out of the house and into my car, but I did. Now, I'm in a hotel lobby writing this. I'm terrified to go home, and I don't know what else to do. I'd call the cops, but what the fuck do I tell them? The ring has been off my finger for 2 days now. I have 1 day left before it comes for me. I'm hoping that someone might read this story and know what I'm talking about. As unimaginable as that would be, maybe they'd have advice on how to forge a new ring. Advice on how to stay alive without it. How to save my wife. Or maybe advice about the most effective way to tie a noose. The phone is ringing. I'll try to keep this updated.
Okay. Creepy but loving grandma? Check. Ring made with unquestionable power? Check. Demonic force that follows me in my dreams and that kills me when I lose said ring? Check. This story brings the thoughts of monsters to life. Maybe I can lean on my yokai pal, the Baku, to eat this nightmare up. Maybe that would save them. Either way, I don't envy our protagonist here. And that ring must be found at all costs. Thank you so much for this No Sleep Taxi on Mars, and I look forward to more of your stories, and even the continuation of this one. We'll be in touch, mate. So before I close off this episode, just wanted to say thank you. That's it. You fans and supporters are just great. And the YouTube subscribes are increasing. A special thank you, by the way, to those that have subscribed to me there as well. It generates even more awareness to this channel. I am ever grateful, and the stories here can reach even more lovely people's ears. So thanks. And on that note, listeners, this is the place where stories live, and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.